Hello and welcome to a new series. We begin today in Psalm 119, and we're going to be focusing on the subject of prayer and the Word of God. You remember recently we had a series on how to pray for an hour. Jesus came to the disciples and he said, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" We went through 10 different areas, and one of the areas we looked at was to pray the scriptures back to God. We're going to focus on that particular area in this series. Now, Psalm 119 is divided into sections of 8 verses, and the first 8 verses we read, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and they that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." Now the first verse starts out saying, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way." That word "blessed" has been translated "happy" 18 times. Now, happiness is a byproduct of happenings. Whatever happens will make us happy or it'll make us sad. And so, actually, happiness is an emotion. Now, this whole world is got a goal. Everybody wants to be happy, and that is their goal. Now, the situation we need to understand is that for the Christian, happiness is not just seeking a goal, but the Holy Spirit directing our spirit, which in turn directs our soul, which includes our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, the Bible says that God made us three parts. He said, "Let us make man in our image." God is a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and so are we. The Bible says we are a spirit, soul, and a body. Now, that spirit is the part where the Holy Spirit communicates, the Bible says, with our spirit. In turn, our spirit should dictate to our soul, which includes our emotions, and then our mind, our will, and our emotions should be under the control of the Holy Spirit, and the byproduct of that is happiness. Happiness is a byproduct. The natural outcome, a byproduct is the natural outcome as a result of doing something else. As I said, the world is, their goal is happiness. That should not be the goal of a Christian. The goal of a Christian should be to do what the Holy Spirit directs us to do and to be what the Holy Spirit directs us to be, and the byproduct of that is happiness. The Bible says, "Blessed are the undefiled." Now, that word has been translated "sincere" twice. Blessed are the sincere in the way. The Bible says, we look at that word "undefiled," and, the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We're all sinners, and we sin. However, some people are sincere in the way of the Lord and want to do what God wants us to do. Then he said the byproduct of that, if you're sincere in the way, is your happiness. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. That word "way" is found 11 times in 11 verses in this chapter. Then it says, "who walk in the law of the Lord," and that word is another special word that is found 13 times in this chapter. Now, a walk in the law of the Lord. A walk is a slow, steady progress in a predetermined direction. When Paul the Apostle began his ministries in this world, he talked a lot about running the race that is set before you. But when he got near the end of his ministry, he talked a whole lot more about walking the Christian life, a slow, steady progress in a predetermined direction. Now, in verse 2, we read, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and they that seek him with the whole heart." The word "keep" means to guard or to watch over his testimonies. The word "testimonies" is found 23 times in this chapter, and it refers to God's standard of conduct for us. Blessed are they that keep his standard of conduct and seek him with the whole heart. Seek him with the whole heart. The byproduct of these two verses will be happiness. Happiness is a byproduct. For Paul the Apostle, he talked about having the peace of God which passes all understanding. You look at the situations that Paul went through in his life, and boy, how could you have peace? He wrote that sitting in a dungeon. He had the peace of God which passes all understanding. I have had the worst 2 years of my life the last couple of years. My wife is in long-term care. In the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've had several deaths in the family. There's just been trials that has not stopped for the last couple of years. I should be miserable today. I'm not miserable. I'm having a good time. Concerning my wife's situation, I've talked over the last couple of years with 5 different people in the medical world, and 4 of them have asked me, how are you handling this? That usually with someone, my wife has Alzheimer's, and usually the caregiver, they're more concerned about them than they are about the person with Alzheimer's, because the caregiver is going through much more emotional stress. And they said, how are you handling this so well? I said, I don't know. The Bible says that God will give you a peace that passes all understanding. So I don't understand it, but I can tell you how to get it. And it's given me opportunity after opportunity to speak to people in the medical world about the Lord. And if we trust the Lord and follow this formula here, you'll have a peace that passes understanding. Happiness is a byproduct of being in the way, walking in the law of the Lord, keeping his testimony and seeking him with the whole heart. That is what happiness comes from. It is a byproduct. It's not something we should look for. Psalm 119:3 says, they also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Now that word iniquity means behavior becoming of rebuke. Now they walk, again, a slow, steady progress in a predetermined direction, in his ways. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Once again, his ways. Walk in his ways. Make your way his way. The byproduct, you'll have a peace that passes understanding. The Hebrew word walk has a variety of applications, both literal and figurative. But if we look at the context here, it refers to a course of action. It says in verse 1, they walk in the law of the Lord. So happiness is simply a choice that is determined by us either going the broad way or the narrow way. It is simply a choice. Now, we need to look at this subject for a little bit here, the broad way. The broad is the way, Jesus said, and he talked also about the narrow way. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, we have what is called the Sermon on the Mount. It starts out in verse number 1. It says, seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he taught them, saying, and we have 3 chapters here. In chapter 8 and verse number 1, it says, when they came down from the mountain. So the Sermon on the Mount includes all 3 chapters. In chapter 7 and verse 13, he said, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now once again, the Sermon on the Mount starts, he's talking only to his disciples. He said in verse 1, seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He's not talking to unsaved people, except for Judas. Of course, he was in that group. But he is talking to his disciples. Now, I'm going to give you a list of things here that Jesus would not say any of these things if any of the unsaved crowd were present. In 5 and 45, he said to them, he talked about your Father, which is in heaven. That crowd at that bottom of the mountain, their Father was not in heaven. Those Roman soldiers, he's not talking to them. He's not talking to those hypocrites who are running things in the temple. He's talking to Christians. Your Father, which is in heaven. Your Father, which is in heaven. For Father, which is in heaven, thy Father, your Father, our Father, your heavenly Father, your Father, thy Father, your heavenly Father, your heavenly Father, your Father, which is in heaven, your Father, which is in heaven, my Father, which is in heaven. When thou doest thine alms, he wouldn't say that to the unsafe, when thou doest thine alms may be done in secret. That ye are the salt of the earth, he said. Not going to say that to unsaved people. Ye are the light of the world. He's not going to say that either. Now, what he did say was, enter ye in at the straight gate. And that straight gate, who's he talking to? The personal pronoun ye or you is used 110 times in this sermon. He is talking to Christians. Now, I know most commentaries will say this is for unsafe people and you need to get on the narrow path. No, he is talking to Christians and he's saying to Christians, ye, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That word destruction there has been translated waste. And we look at some of the churches that used to stand true for God. Now they're rock and roll centers. Why? Because they went the way of destruction. They went the way of waste. And so now they've got the black lights and the drums and they're going through. They still call it church. Not a church at all. It's an entertainment center. A little bit cleaner entertainment than going to the booze and getting drunk in a hotel. But it's entertainment. It's nothing to do with God's church. It's from his perspective. And so he says to these Christians, go the narrow way. And so David, all the way through the Psalms, you can give you a few verses here. He said, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. He said, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. He said, open thou my eyes. Make me to understand thy way, the way of thy precepts. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. He said, give me understanding. He didn't want to go astray. And when Jesus was talking to those disciples on that mountain, he said, you enter in at the narrow way, not the wide way that leads to waste. Verse 1 to 3 concludes the introduction to Psalm 119, and verse 4 begins with David's prayer, which continues throughout the entire chapter. In verse 4, he says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Thou hast commanded us. Hasn't commanded those unsaved people at the bottom of the mountain. He's talking to Christians. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Precepts is God's mandates, which is an official order to do something. Now, the word precepts is used 21 times in Psalm 119, and it is used concerning being diligent about the details of the instructions of the Lord. The word diligently refers to showing persistence in care, in persistent care in our God-given responsibilities. And now we first got to realize, figure out what those responsibilities are, and do them diligently. Verse 5, David said, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. We have my ways, we have his statutes, and what we need to do is pray, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. What are the statutes? Those things that are engraved or cut in stone. This word occurs 22 times in Psalm 119. Verse 6 says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. To be ashamed is to be embarrassed because of one's actions. Then verse 7 says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will praise thee when I shall have learned. Are you teachable? We have to ask God as we get into the Word of God and pray this, Lord, help me to learn thy righteous judgments. This verse here says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment, when I have respect unto all thy commandments, not just the ones I pick and choose. This word judgments here, that what it means in the Hebrew is that which assists one to discern right and wrong and decide accordingly. Verse 8 says, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. I will keep that which is etched in stone, which there's no discussion about it. This is what you want me to do. I will do it. And then he says, but oh, forsake me not utterly. What we have here is an appeal to the mercy of God. It is only by his mercy that we get to talk to him at all. And so he says, Lord, I can't do this myself. I need your help. And so if we were going to pray this back to the Lord, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Help me, Lord, to do that today. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. Lord, today, help me to keep your testimonies and to seek you wholeheartedly. They do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Oh, I need to do that. Help me do that. Thou hast commanded me to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. He says, I can do this if you help me. And so, we need to learn how to pray the Word of God back to him. We're going to look at the next 8 verses in our next lesson. Be sure and be with us.